Good evening and welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guest tonight is Janice LaChance, Director, Office of Personnel Management. Welcome, Janice.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming, taking time out of your schedule. Well, I'd like to begin by finding out more about the Office of Personnel Management, the federal government's HR agency in some levels. Can you tell us about the mission of OPM?
Certainly. OPM was established to ensure that the civil service system in the United States remained and was above reproach. We are the ones who uphold and enforce the merit system principles all across government to ensure that employees are hired and treated fairly once they're on the job. Since then, we've also gotten a couple of other jobs. For example, we run the nation's largest employer-sponsored health insurance program. So we make sure that we are at the forefront of progressive benefit and compensation policies for federal employees, as well as making sure that there are appropriate considerations for balancing work and family. In addition, we run the retirement system and always try to make sure that agencies have the flexibilities they need to hire the right kind of people with the right skills and talents at the right time.
Well, let's take a minute and find out about your career. I understand you've had some congressional experience and various positions within the government focusing on communication, to include even OPM experience. Could you tell us about your career and the different experiences?
I came to OPM in 1993 as its director of communications, and I fell in love with the place and have been very, very fortunate to be able to move up in the ranks. In addition to being director of communications, I was the chief of staff and then the deputy director for a very short time before I was nominated to be director over 2 years ago now, about 2.5 years ago. Before that, I worked for the largest labor union representing federal employees, the American Federation of Government Employees, where I was their communications and political affairs director, making sure that they were well represented in the media and in the political environment here in Washington, D.C. Prior to that, I've had some congressional experience, including work with now Senator Tom Daschle, but I worked for him when he was in the House of Representatives as his communications director. I was an administrative assistant to Congresswoman Katie Hall of Indiana and was the subcommittee staff director for the House Small Business Subcommittee on Antitrust and Restraint of Trade.
We're getting ready for National Party Convention time, which happens every 4 years, and I noticed that you served as a staff director of the Democratic National Convention in communications in 1996. I wonder if you could tell us about that.
Well, like the federal government, national conventions operate on people and people with good skills and skilled people being available to get the work done. I made sure that the 700 volunteers who were needed to run the communications operation at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago were there when they were needed and that they had the proper credentials to get their job done and that they'd been trained properly. So it was an interesting 4 days and probably a little bit more complex than I'd ever hope to have to do again.
Yeah, I don't know if your experience was similar to mine, but the hardest jobs I ever had were with volunteers.
Yes. Well, generally, if you're working for a political cause, people are there because they're dedicated and devoted to the effort, but it's still a juggling act and something I hope I don't have to repeat.
And you also managed to go to law school, and I'm wondering if you can tell us about your law degree and how it's helped you in your career.
Mm-hmm. I did go to law school, and it was just a very important part of my training and preparation for the career that I've chosen. I've never practiced law, but I can't think of a single day in my life that having a law degree hasn't helped me. I think having a law degree helps you think more clearly, gives you the ability to think on your feet, which maybe helps me in this kind of situation, as well as congressional hearings on the Hill and other places where you don't have too much time to get prepared. And I think it also helps me analyze and sort through some very complex issues and situations that I'm sometimes faced with as director of OPM. So I'm glad I did it. And once in a while, I think what it would be like to be Perry Mason or somebody in a courtroom all the time. But I'm happy I chose the course I did.
And you serve as the chairwoman of the National Partnership Council and the President's Task Force on Federal Training Technology. Can you tell us about these committees?
Certainly. Well, the National Partnership Council is very, very important to the entire administration's reinvention effort. It was established early on in 1993 as a way to break through some of the bureaucracy that the Clinton-Gore administration thought had paralyzed the government for so long. What we hope to do with the National Partnership Council is support productive labor management relationships that aren't mired in adversarial relationships, that aren't running off to court every day to sue each other, but a productive environment where both parties are focused on achieving the mission of the agency and also empowering frontline workers, essentially letting them tell the senior managers what they need to get the job done. The National Partnership Council has been a very effective organization, and I'm very, very proud to be chair of it.
Well, as you look back at all your experiences, what experience do you think best prepared you to be a leader of a large government organization?
I think it was cumulative. I think working on the Hill was particularly helpful because I understand how members of Congress think, how their staffs think, what the staff needs to get their job done. But I was also very, very fortunate to work for two men who were extraordinary leaders, each very different but outstanding in their own ways. One was John Sturtevant, who was president of the American Federation of Government Employees when I worked there. He has since passed away, and it's quite a loss not only to the labor movement but I think to the entire government. John was an incredible visionary who could lay out a goal for an organization, a democratic organization that was somewhat unwieldy, and really get the entire group of people, no matter where they were coming from, what their own parochial interests were, focused on a goal. And I learned a tremendous amount from him about leadership, about where to compromise, about how to work with people to get the ultimate job done. The other person was my predecessor at OPM, Jim King, who did an extraordinary job in reshaping OPM to be the kind of responsive agency that it is today. And Jim took a lot of heat for that kind of courage, but he showed an incredible amount of stamina and the ability to stand up to criticism and unpopularity to do what was right. And at the end of the day, OPM's a better agency for it. So I had the benefit of learning from two really terrific leaders.
And what do you think differentiates the most effective leaders of government organizations?
I think the most important thing you can do as a government leader is set out a goal for the organization. I think if everybody understands the goal and it's clear and it can be easily enunciated and people can relate to it, then I think that's half the battle. I think the other part of the battle is leading by example. I think you have to be the kind of person you want your employees to be. If you don't want people leaving at 5 minutes to five instead of 5 o'clock, then make sure you're putting in the extra hours as well. I think that there's an extraordinary amount of watching and observing that goes on, and I don't think we should ever undersell the idea of leading by example. And I think those two things, coupled with an ability to bring in stakeholders and make them feel as though they're a part of the process, whether it's elected officials or members of a labor union or a trade organization or a professional organization, get them all at the table, build a consensus toward what you want, get buy-in, and get everybody marching toward that goal or that vision that you set out for the organization.
We made an interesting point about leading by example, and I'm just wondering, in a large organization like OPM, how many people actually get to observe you to see that leading by example?
More than you'd think, probably. I like to spend a lot of time in the employee cafeteria. That's, unless I have a business lunch, that's where I eat my lunch. I don't walk up the street to go to a restaurant or anything. In the hallways, I always try to take a minute to talk with people that I pass in the hallways, whether it's just a hello or a goodbye. I think there's lots of opportunity for people to see you in action. And I think that's what really counts, is the ability to have the kind of open communication with your employees. Let them see you as you really are and let them see what you care about.
Great. And it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.